Good morning, and welcome to Simply Science. It's Sunday, April 21st. On today's show, discover how science can help marathon runners avoid hitting the wall, and explore the possibility of using Earth and Jupiter as laboratories to unlock cosmic mysteries. Plus, scientists unveil groundbreaking optical quantum detection. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Science. We start off with a look at how science is helping marathon runners combat the prospect of cramps and hitting the dreaded wall. As the Independent sports editor Jack Rathborn explains, insufficient fuel and hydration often cause runners to fall short of their goals. Here with more details is our correspondent. So what exactly causes runners to hit the wall during a marathon?
Well, David, hitting the wall, also known as bonking, is essentially the point of reaching exhaustion due to the functional depletion of glycogen stores in the body. Glycogen is the stored form of glucose that the body relies on for energy during prolonged exercise. When those stores get too low, fatigue sets in rapidly and performance suffers dramatically. Insufficient electrolytes like sodium can also contribute to cramping and early fatigue.
And you mentioned that science is now helping runners avoid this. What kind of research and strategies are being employed?
Companies like Precision Fuel and Hydration are now offering detailed physiological testing for athletes, including sweat tests that can determine exactly how much sodium an individual loses in their sweat. Sweat rate and sodium loss can vary up to 15 times between individuals, so knowing those personal numbers is crucial. With those test results, sports scientists can give runners a precise pre-race and mid-race fueling and hydration plan, customized to their unique physiology to maintain optimal glycogen and electrolyte levels from start to finish.
That's fascinating. So what might a typical fueling plan look like for a marathon runner based on this kind of testing and analysis?
Well, for someone with a high sweat rate, who is a salty sweater, as they call it, the recommendations can be pretty extensive. In the case of the runner profiled by The Independent, he was advised to consume 75 grams of carbohydrates and 1,000 milligrams of sodium per hour during the race, which equates to almost 8 energy gels and electrolyte capsules every 30 minutes. Fluids are also precisely prescribed. While it may seem like a lot, this approach takes the guesswork out of mid-race fueling and gives the runner the best possible chance of avoiding that dreaded wall.
Thank you for that illuminating look at how science is helping marathoners. Fascinating stuff from our correspondent at Simply Science. And speaking of fascinating science, let's turn our attention to the cosmos. Scientists are proposing an innovative way to detect elusive gravitational waves using planets in our solar system like Earth and Jupiter. Here to explain more is our Simply Science correspondent. So how exactly could planets act as cosmic laboratories to study these mysterious ripples in space-time?
The idea relies on the magnetospheres surrounding planets like Earth and Jupiter. These protective magnetic fields stretch far out into space. When gravitational waves pass through a strong magnetic field, a fascinating phenomenon called the inverse Gertzenstein effect occurs. The waves get converted into light particles that could potentially be picked up by probes orbiting the planets. Essentially, the planetary magnetospheres would act as enormous observatories for spotting gravitational wave signals.
And detecting these waves, especially high-frequency ones, is notoriously difficult, right? What makes them so hard to observe directly?
Absolutely. Gravitational waves are extremely subtle disturbances in the fabric of space-time. They barely interact with matter, so their effects are minuscule. Current ground-based facilities like LIGO have made historic detections, but they're limited to lower frequencies. High-frequency waves, which carry vital information about the early universe and cosmic mysteries like dark matter, have remained elusive. That's why this new planet-based approach is so intriguing.
So what did the researchers find when they looked at data from existing space probes near Earth and Jupiter? Any hints of these converted light particles?
The team analyzed data from Japan's Suzaku satellite orbiting Earth and NASA's Juno spacecraft at Jupiter. While not definitive, there were some encouraging signs, that these probes may have already intercepted light particles generated from gravitational waves. Of course, the orbits and instruments would need to be optimized to really hunt for these signals. But it's a tantalizing possibility.
Fascinating. So if this pans out, what new windows could it open on the cosmos?
The potential is vast. High-frequency gravitational waves are thought to have been produced right after the Big Bang, so they could provide an unprecedented look at the newborn universe. They might also shed light on primordial black holes and the nature of dark matter. And more broadly, studying gravitational waves reveals fundamental truths about gravity itself. There's so much to learn if we can tap into these ubiquitous cosmic ripples.
Thanks for that fascinating look at the latest in astronomy, David. In other groundbreaking scientific news, researchers at Paderborn University in Germany have made a breakthrough in characterizing optical quantum states using a new method. This could have important implications for quantum computing and information processing. Here, with more details, is our Simply Science correspondent. So what exactly did the researchers do differently this time?
The key innovation here is that the researchers used special photon detectors called superconducting nanowire single photon detectors for a technique called homodyne detection. Homodyne detection itself is commonly used in quantum optics to study the wave-like properties of optical quantum states, things like the amplitude and phase of the light waves. But this is the first time these ultra-fast single photon detectors have been applied for this purpose.
And what advantages do these superconducting detectors bring to the table compared to traditional methods?
There are a few key benefits. First, the researchers showed that using these detectors, the homodyne detector has a linear response, meaning the measured signal is directly proportional to the input signal. The superconducting detectors also have nearly 100% on-chip efficiency, so no photons are lost in the detection process. They also have intrinsic phase stability. All of this could enable the development of highly efficient homodyne detectors using these single photon sensitive devices.
So, what are the potential applications of being able to better characterize these optical quantum states?
This capability is critical for quantum information processing. Precise knowledge of the characteristics of optical quantum states is important for manipulating them in useful ways, such as for quantum computing. Being able to work with the continuous variables of light, like the amplitude and phase, opens up new possibilities for encoding and processing quantum information beyond just the typical qubit-based approaches. So this could help expand the toolbox for quantum information science.
Fascinating stuff. It will be exciting to see how this new quantum optics technique gets put to use in the coming years. Thank you, Celeste, for breaking that down for us. And now let's shift gears to another important health topic. A new study has found a link between getting less than 6 hours of sleep per night and an increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes. The findings come from an analysis of data from the UK Biobank, which contains health information on around 250,000 adults. Here with more details is our Simply Science correspondent. So what exactly did the researchers look at in this study?
The researchers wanted to understand the relationship between total sleep duration and the risk of developing type 2 diabetes. They categorized sleep into several buckets. 7 to 8 hours was considered a normal, healthy amount. Then short sleep was divided into mild, 6 hours, moderate, 5 hours, and extreme, 3 to 4 hours. They also looked at whether having a healthy diet could offset the negative impacts of getting too little sleep.
And what did they find in terms of the diabetes risk for people who regularly got less than the recommended amount of sleep?
The study found that even among people who ate a healthy diet, getting less than 6 hours of sleep was associated with a significantly higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes compared to those who got 7 to 8 hours per night. Specifically, regularly getting 5 hours of sleep linked to a 16% greater diabetes risk. And for those in the extreme short sleep category, sleeping only 3 to 4 hours, the risk was 41% higher than those getting the normal amount.
Did the study provide any insights into why a lack of sleep seems to have this effect of increasing diabetes risk?
The authors note that there are likely multiple factors involved in the sleep-diabetes relationship. Things like individual differences in sleep quality and lifestyle habits could play a role. Prior research has found that regularly getting between 7 to 8 hours is associated with the lowest risk, with the risk increasing if you get less than 7 or more than 8. So there seems to be a sweet spot for optimal metabolic health.
The researchers acknowledge that it's not always possible for people to get enough sleep each night. Did they have any suggestions for offsetting the potential negative effects?
They recommend that people who struggle to get sufficient sleep should try to engage in high-intensity interval exercise during the day. Previous studies have shown this type of exercise can help improve insulin sensitivity and mitigate some of the adverse metabolic changes that can result from sleep deprivation. Of course, when possible, aiming to get between 7 and 8 hours of sleep each night should be the goal.
Thanks for that report and for helping to put this new research into context for us. Fascinating to see how interconnected sleep is with so many aspects of our health. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Science. We'll see you back here tomorrow.